to bring a lesson related to history and the importance of history. So this morning, that's what we're going to do. And they asked me to keep it short because we got some other things that are going on today. And, you know, short is in the eye of the beholder. But hopefully we can allow enough time for the things that are needful this morning. We're going to spend some time this morning in the book of Joshua. And if you'd like to go ahead and be turning over there, that would be great. And we're going to spend our time investigating what God had told his people after they came out of Egypt and how that applies to us not only today but throughout all ages. Would you pray with me, please? Our Father and our God in heaven, we thank you so much for the blessings of this day and the blessings of life. We ask you to bless us as we break open your word. May we receive it, Father, as it has been intended. May it find a happy home in our hearts, and may it bring good things forward in our spiritual life towards you. Thank you, Father, for your precious word. In Jesus' name, amen. After 40 years of wandering in the desert, the children of Israel were finally prepared. They were finally prepared to accept this invitation to enter into the promised land. There were sins that had caused them to have to wander those 40 years, and there were generations that had to pass away before they could enter in. And as they are preparing to enter in, Moses is instructed to encourage the children of Israel to remember. The second giving of the law is the book of Deuteronomy. And in the second giving of the law, the book of Deuteronomy, the word remember is the key word to that book. It is found 14 times in that book. Let's look at a few of those very briefly. In Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 15. Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse 15. And remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and that the Lord your God brought you out from there by a mighty hand and with an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. Over in chapter 15, also verse 15, we read, you shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and that the Lord your God redeemed you. Therefore, I command you this thing today. Next chapter, 16 and verse 12. And you shall remember that you were a slave in Egypt, and you shall be careful to observe these statutes. And finally, over in chapter 24, verses 18 and also 22. But you shall remember that you were a slave in Egypt, and that the Lord your God redeemed you from there. Therefore, I command you to do this thing. 22. And you shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt. Therefore, I command you to do this thing. With all of these remembrances being put forward about their previous slavery 40 years prior in the land of Egypt, what is God saying to them? He's telling them, remember where you came from. Remember who it is that brought, made it possible for you to be here today. When we look back to our past, we reflect upon the things that others have done to help us to be where we are today. The primary one is our God and Father and His Son Jesus Christ, who've made it possible for us to be where we are. But as a preacher, I was taught many, many years ago to understand that you stand on the shoulders of giants. Because you are building upon those things that happened before you were located in a particular place. The many preachers that have come before, the work that I do builds off of what they have already done. I've heard stories from many of you about previous preachers, and it's remarkable how all of them preach shorter than I do. I'm just teasing, making sure everybody's paying attention. But you know, those preachers stood on the shoulders of giants. We're in a congregation here that's been around for 125 years, but it was 2,000 years ago that Jesus came, he taught, he died, was buried, and rose again and ascended to heaven. 40 days after his resurrection, he ascended, and he charged his apostles to pay attention because very soon something's going to happen. And 10 days later, the Holy Spirit came upon them in Jerusalem. The church was established. We, in the body of Christ, stand on the shoulders of those giants too. Everything that we have goes all the way back to that point. But it is still good and it is right for us to reflect upon what God has done in this place in these relatively few 125 years. So Joshua, after the giving of the law and after the death of Moses, he leads the children of Israel into the promised land across the Jordan River. In Joshua chapter 4, and let's go ahead and stay there for a few moments. Joshua chapter 4. Joshua had received instructions from the Lord, and he then relays those instructions to the children of Israel. Then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had appointed from the children of Israel, one man from every tribe. And Joshua said to them, "Cross over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of the Jordan. And each one of you take up a stone on his shoulder according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you when your children ask in time to come, saying, 'What do these stones mean to you?' Then you shall answer them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it crossed over the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial to the children of Israel forever." Many of us remember, it may be a while since we've studied from this portion of the scriptures, but we remember that as the children cross, the ark is sent into the water, God stops the water. It's interesting, the parallel between the escape from Egypt was through the crossing of water, and the entrance into the promised land was through the crossing of water. And God, in both occasions, stopped the water so his people could safely cross through. They collected these stones and they created a memorial. A memorial, something to remember. So that in the future, when the children say, "What do these stones mean to you?" Because children, unless you can train it out of them, are curious, are they not? One of the first questions a child learns is why. Now put your shoes on, why? Because I said so, why? And you get why questions for until you finally make them be quiet. Children are inquisitive. And as they get older, they recognize things, they see things, and as they see those things, are we prepared to give them the proper answer? Why? What do these stones mean to you? Notice that each tribe took a part. The Levites are carrying the Ark of the Covenant, but the Levites were not the ones chosen to collect the stones. It was from all of the tribes. Every tribe had a part in creating this monument, this memorial. So many families have had a part, a role, over the last 125 years in building this congregation with the Lord's strength. In my bulletin article today, if you've had the opportunity to read it, you'll take note of the fact that I went out on a limb and said there's nobody here today that was here 125 years ago when the church was established here. Now, Lyndon Suggs isn't here today, so there isn't anybody. I'm just teasing. But, you know, we don't have 125 plus long enough to remember or be involved in the establishment of the church. People are not living that long. We can't ask them, what was it like that first Sunday? But a testimony to what they did that first Sunday in establishing the church here in Gainesville, Florida, is the fact that we are here on this Lord's Day worshiping and remembering. And so many have taken a part. And we could go through the church records. We could go through all of the notes that the preachers have left, all of the journals, all of those things, and it would only give us a small portion of all of the efforts that have been enjoined in this place over 125 years. But we know there are so many that we have to thank for the fact that we are, as a congregation, healthy and able to function here today. But what these stones also remind us of is the importance of studying and remembering the past. We need to study what happened in the New Testament. We need to study how the church was organized, how the church functioned, how the church worshiped, how a person became to belong as a member of the body. We need to study those things, how the church went through its daily and weekly observances. We need to study those things, and we need to remember the giants on whose shoulders those things were built. Likewise, we need to study and remember what has taken place here. As you look out on that table, you'll notice that there are old directories, there are old church bulletins. There are notes from classes, particularly a kindergarten class 25 years ago. There are all sorts of things out there that we need to look at and remember. There are secular things. There's things about some football team back then. I don't know who that was. But those were important things. But where the church itself is concerned, we need to get a little bit more narrowly focused. It's good that those were exciting things were happening during that time. But look at what was happening in the church itself. Because if you don't pay attention to where you've been, it's going to be difficult to know where you're going. We've got to reflect. Our society is the same way. Lessons that we learn help promote future endeavors in the kingdom of God. We need to learn both good and bad lessons. You understand? Every person that is of any age to be trained and experience anything in their lives knows that you learn more from your mistakes than your successes. And the church is no different. We've made our mistakes. In 125 years, I imagine there's more than a handful of mistakes that have been made. But people have learned, they have grown, and they have moved on. We need to do the very same thing. Back to our scripture reading from just a few moments ago. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 1 through 3. Every commandment which I command you today, you must be careful to observe, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land of which the Lord swore to your fathers. And you shall remember that the Lord your God led you all the way these 40 days in the wilderness to humble you and test you, to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. So he humbled you, allowed you to hunger, and fed you with the manna which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone. Man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. As we endeavor into the future, may we take heed those words and remember that man does not live by bread alone. That he's the one who has been leading us each step of the way. That spiritual food is way more important than physical food. that those are the things that truly help us to grow. When we remember what happened to the Israelites, they became focused on the physical rather than the spiritual, and God had to punish them. His admonition that comes forward from there, beginning in verse 6. Therefore you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God, walk in his ways and fear him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks and water, of fountains and springs that flow out of the valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey, a land in which you will eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing, a land whose stones are iron, and out of the hills you can dig copper. When you have eaten and are full, then you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which he has given you. I want you to stop right there and think about the good land, spiritually speaking, that God has given us that has been cultivated for 125 years. Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments, his judgments, his statutes, which I command you today, lest when you have eaten and are full and have built houses and dwell in them, when your herds and flocks multiply and your silver and your gold multiplied, all that you have is multiplied, when your heart is lifted up and you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led you through the great and terrible wilderness in which were fiery serpents and scorpions, and a thirsty land where there was no water, who brought you water from a flinty rock, who fed you in the wilderness with manna, which your fathers did not know, that he might humble you, that he might test you, to do you good in the end. That you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gained this wealth. And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he swore to your fathers, as it is to this day. Twice more, as he concludes that thought, he tells them to remember. As we are here today, the thing that we must remember, that we have remembered in hopefully in the taking of the bread and the fruit of the vine, is the greatest event that has happened in all of human history. And that is the giving of the Son of God for the sins of mankind. Jesus was sent from heaven to earth to become a man, to dwell among us, to give us an example, to teach us, and then to take our sins to the cross, to die for us, be buried, and raised the third day. He did that, that those who would seek to know God would come to him through his precious Son. Today, as you are here, have you come to know Jesus in the remission of your sins? Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Have you repented of the sins for which Jesus died on that cross? Confessed his precious name? And been immersed in water for the remission of your sins. God applying the blood of Christ to you, adding you to his church, clothing you in Christ, and raising you to walk in a new life. Have you done those things? Or maybe you're here today having done those things, and maybe you've forgotten the things that God has done for you. I hope that you will bring those things back to remembrance. Are there situations in your life for which you need prayers? Can we help you today, either in the obeying of the gospel or in prayers for whatever your needs are? Won't you make them known to us as together we stand and sing?
I have decided.